get that set up.
All right. Well, since we do have some new folk here, let's make sure you get the introductions here. Champagne Sykes. Mm-hmm. Champagne Sykes is with us today. Of course, most of y'all know Bobby. Bobby Brown is here. And then Chris Warren. And Chris just got saved on Wednesday. Amen. And I want to say Samantha, I know I'm wrong. I know it's not Bobby because that's sister. First initial.
Michelle.
I just texted you too. And so I should know that. Michelle and Chris Warren are with us this morning as well. And so make sure you get acquainted with them. Amen. Good to have them in our class. And so just for their sake as well, just go ahead and give your first name so they'll know who you are, starting with my lovely wife. How do you give them your name? Of course, they can know anyway.
I am Mrs. Carmen Dawson.
Keisha Graves.
David.
Chris.
Bobby.
I'm the husband of Eileen.
Steve Shirk. Amen. Annette.
I'm Annette Hamblin.
Okay, amen. All right, so now you guys are on first name basis, so you know who each other are here. All right, let's go with Proverbs.
I don't know the name of he's the husband of
Steve Shirk. Amen. You know, there's sometimes in the military, you know by your last name all the time. So I had my next to me, I got saved, Frank Herndon. He had gotten saved. And his wife always called me Dawson. Hey, Dawson. I mean, even after she got to know me, she still called me Dawson. Hey, Dawson. And I'm thinking, yeah, I do have a first name. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Hey, brother. I do have a first name. It's Greg, you know. Okay, brother. Okay, Dawson. Amen. It must be a military thing. Amen. So some folks are known by that title. Amen. All right, Proverbs 19:20. Let's go over there. That's the verse that we left you guys off with, dealing with communication still. Welcome to all of the folks that are new to our class. We thank God that you're here. And we'll try as much as possible to get you caught up to what we're doing here with communication. And again, let me bring up to your attention as well, I love input. And so if you have input, to me the best type of class is when, I get away from that, is when the best type of class is when I get interaction from you, because that kind of helps me know where your mind is at and helps me be a better facilitator to get us to move along into certain items. And so if you've got some input, please don't hesitate to raise your hand and give us some input, because I only ask for input quite often. 19:20 is our verse of memory. And as a matter of fact, let's do two. Hold your finger there, 19:20. We're going to do 13:10, because we had that one as a memory verse as well. So we'll read both of those.
Oh, I apologize, Pastor.
What's that?
They sent everybody last. I notified everybody
it's
the last verse. They didn't get the new one. I don't know why I didn't have it.
Oh, that's okay. The new one was 19:20. The old one was 13:10. So we'll do both of them this morning. 19:20. So who got the old one? 13:10. Which one did you guys get?
Probably the new one.
19:20? Okay, that's right.
Oh, okay.
That's right, Mom. 19:20. We're going to do both of them today. So 19:20 and 13:10. So we'll do 13:10 first. That was the oldest one. And it seems like it's been a month of Sundays, but it's only been a couple Sundays that we've not been here. All right, Proverbs 13:10. Let's say this one together. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. And then come over to Proverbs 19:20. And these are things that we want to keep in mind when we are dealing with communication. Proverbs 19:20, let's say that together. Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Proverbs 19:20. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together as a class. Lord, help us as we learn more about being effective communicators, where we're all going to communicate in some way, shape, fashion, or form. Lord, help us to be more effective in our communication with our spouses and with our children, Lord, with those that are around us. Help us to be aware of some of these principles that are here. that we can be a better in listening and hearing, Lord, and then responding to that which we hear. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now the class. Thank you for our guest that we have in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, we're on the third chapter here. God bless you. The third chapter, that chapter is maximizing your marriage by communicating with your mate. And contrary to popular belief, communication is not automatic. How many would agree with me? Communication is not automatic. Amen. How many times have you said something and someone never even responded to what you said or didn't hear what you said or what you said they misconstrued, and then you kind of look at them like, that is nowhere close to what I said. And they're responding back to you thinking, what planet are you on? Now, what happened in a process like that oftentimes? What happens? Whether it's with your children, whether it's with your spouse, or with a coworker, what normally happens with something like that? You say something and they're kind of out in left field about what you said.
Confusion.
Now, is it confusing in your mind as to what you said?
No,
we tend to know what we said.
Some people hear things differently than the way you say them.
And why do people hear things differently than the way we say them?
Because they're only hearing bits and pieces.
They're hearing bits and pieces. Now, why are they hearing bits and pieces?
They're not paying attention.
Sometimes they're not paying attention. Why are they hearing bits and pieces?
They hear what they like to hear.
They hear what they like to hear sometimes, amen. What else?
I think because they're not too busy defending our... Like if somebody's talking to you, like when your spouse is talking to you and you're kind of like, you're already in defense of what you're talking about already, so you kind of just take bits and pieces so that you can defend yourself on that.
So I'm fortifying my position and trying to get my rebuttal ready, yes. So I don't hear what they said. Amen. That could be true. What else? What other reasons?
Different life experiences, past. Everybody listens with what they've gone through, basically.
And so they're filtering it through their life, basically, and that's how they're hearing it, okay? So they're only going to hear certain things based on what they've gone through, amen? Anything else? Why? What we say, people kind of get like, oh, yeah, well, I didn't say that at all. And all these could be true, different parts of it, okay? Then you got to understand with communication, if you're trying to effectively communicate with somebody, there's a lot that goes into their ears. And much of what you said is pieces of what is going on. They're maybe trying to defend themselves, or maybe they're listening through their life experiences, or maybe they are confused, amen? A whole lot of different things go on. And guess what? In relationships between husbands and wives, it's the same. In relationship between kids, it's the same. You're gonna say something to a child, they're gonna filter it through a child's mind that's filled with cartoons and foolishness why do I have to do that? Why do I need to brush my teeth? Because they'll fall out. Well, what's so bad about that? Well, remember when you were young and you could only eat mush and stuff? You kind of need your teeth. And plus, if you grow old with no teeth, you won't look so good. To a child, that makes no sense at all. They don't understand that. Why do I have to take a nap? That makes no sense to a child at all. Why I got to take a nap? I would love to take a nap.
Right.
I would love to take a nap. Ask me if I want to take one. I'll beat you to the bed, amen? But to a child, take a nap, that is totally foreign. If I take a nap, I'm going to miss something. So as we're communicating with our spouses and with our children, we've got to understand there's a lot that is going on in their own mind. And so knowing that, we've got to be more careful and more cautious in what we say, how we say it, when we say it, and why we say it, because it may not all get through. Y'all tracking with me on that? So this chapter here is very, very key. Notice what it says down there in that memory verse there, the last one, 19:20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. So in other words, I've got to make sure that I'm hearing what someone is saying. And not only am I hearing it, I've got to make sure I receive it. Do we often receive everything that's said? No. Like Annette said, if something that someone has said comes in and it hits that spot that I don't want it to hit, what am I oftentimes going to do?
Get your answer.
Talk to the hand. It has just bounced off. I'm not going to hear anything else because now I'm guarding that part that you just touched. And so I'm not going to say anything now because I'm ready to going on past experience, as Steve said, and drudge up why I shouldn't listen to what you said, because this is what happened last time. Now, is that fair to that person?
No.
Not fair at all. But does it happen?
Yeah.
So how do we get around it? How do we get around it? How are we going to hear counsel, receive instruction, even when it hits a bad spot?
You got to know your bad spots.
Got to know my bad spot? Okay. And if I know my bad spot, what can I do with that bad spot?
Avoid it.
Avoid it? Well, you can't avoid it all the time.
If you're the listener, take it to the Lord.
Yeah. And Steve brings a good, now if I know I've got a weak spot or a bad spot and somebody hits it, I'm going to tend to get defensive. There's a key word that I need to have in my life. Anybody knows what that word is? Begins with an H.
Humility.
Humility or being humble. I've got to have that. If I know this is a weak spot or a bad spot, I've got to be humble about that area because I know it affects me. And if I'm not humble, as Annette said, I'm going to put up the boxing gloves and I'm going to be Muhammad Ali. I'm going to rope-a-dope on you. Or I'm going to be a Mike Tyson and bite your ear. I mean, because you're going to hit that spot and I don't want to hit that spot. And so I've got to be humble about this and say, you know what, this is a problem of mine. It's a problem of mine. Now, I know I've got many, many problems. And if people start hitting some of those problem areas, I'm prone to kind of and defend. I got to say, you know what, I know that's a weakness of mine. So what they're giving me is counsel. I've got to receive this instruction. By the way, as husbands and wives, our goal should be to help each other out, not to hurt or hinder. Now, I don't think any husband or wife sets out to hurt each other. You say, well, preacher, why do we get hurt? Well, I'm asking, well, why do we get hurt then? If we don't set out to do it, why do we get hurt?
Sometimes it's inevitable.
That's true. Why do we get hurt sometimes? If we know we're not trying to hurt each other, why do we get hurt and why do we hurt the other one oftentimes?
Because we can
get
caught up in day-to-day chores.
Get caught up in day-to-day chores, amen, and we forget about being sensitive or compassionate. Yeah, that's true. What else? Why do we get hurt?
Situations happen, you know, lose a job or anything can happen and change the situation in your life. So.
Amen. Situations happen. Other things are going on. And so now I'm not really ready for that. You catch me kind of off guard. Why do we get hurt?
Pride. Sometimes it's because of our pride. We only see our way and refuse to see the side of the other person.
Sometimes it is pride. We refuse to see the side of the other person. Why? Because I don't want that heart spark to be exposed, and I don't like that. It's not comfortable. And guess what? In a marriage relationship, you have to be vulnerable. You have to be vulnerable. You have to be willing to be hurt. Now, I'm not saying you want to be hurt, but you have to be willing. Now, why do I say that? Was Jesus Christ hurt? Yes, he was. Do you think he wanted to be hurt? I don't think anybody wants to be hurt, but he was willing to be hurt because he understood in relationships there's going to be some hurting. And if I'm going to be the brunt of the one bearing the responsibility, then I've got to be open and vulnerable to the hurt. Because it might, the hurt may have to happen to help. Does that make sense? Surgery, normally you have to get hurt in a surgery in order for it to help. They have to go in and cut some things and remove some things, okay? So knowing that we don't like to get hurt, but knowing that, you know, in communication it's going to happen at times, let's pick it up here with, I think we stopped on page 20, because we looked at on page 18 and 19 some do's and in the relationship. And number one, it was do listen without interpreting or correcting at the bottom of page 18. In our communication. Then number two on page 19, do look for the meaning behind your spouse's statements. And then number three at the bottom of page 19, do respect your spouse's right to a different opinion. It may differ from yours, but that's okay. Then at the top of page 20, we talked about some don'ts. Don't lose your temper. That is a bad thing. We looked at that. Number two, and notice at the bottom of page one, men, it says this is usually most difficult for men. Why do men lose their temper quicker than ladies?
Shorter fuses.
Shorter fuses. You know, think about it. Why do men tend to lose their cool quicker than ladies? Because we've got to really understand that we normally do. As a rule, we normally do. Why do we?
Well, we're physically different. Testosterone. Mm-hmm. We're mentally different.
True.
In other words, like we would like to get to the root of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not very patient. Mm-hmm. Women are often much better at relationships, mm-hmm. and they're more concerned about relationships, and men are more concerned about outcomes, about solutions.
Amen.
So a woman tends to have more patience to nurture the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll hang in there a lot longer than we will, because we're not often thinking about the relationship too much. We're thinking about the solution.
Amen. Now Steve hits the nail on the head. Men normally lose their temper quicker because men are normally black and white. And so if you can't get to the point quick, and it's black and white, I'm going to get frustrated. Because it shouldn't be a long discussion if I just asked you, are we going to the store? And you came up, well, you know, the kids did this, and we going over here, and grandma called, and this happened, and we, you know, I don't have this money. I just ask you, are we going to the store? Yes or no? It's a simple question. But then we had to go over here. You know, you got to hear the whole story first, you know, before I do. And then we go over here and did this and this. And I got to do this and do this and this. So we're not going. But then I finished it over here. And so we did this and this. So we are going. But then so-and-so called and this and this.
And if they're talking to a woman, the woman would say, oh, that must have been so frustrating. And then the man said, I'm just asking whether we want to go to the store.
Men, in their mind, black and white, we're going to the store, yes. We're going to the store, no. I don't need a discussion. And so we tend to get frustrated, we lose our temper, because we're not understanding the makeup of a woman. And oftentimes a woman is not understanding the makeup of the man, that he didn't want the long dissertation that goes along with us, whether we're going to the store, yes or no. And so now there's some friction going on there, because now we're not in the same mind. Now, if a lady's talking to a lady, they're with it. Oh, girl, you is that right? Oh, really? Oh, and it was like that with me, too. And so by the time they get done, it's 30 minutes later, and so are you going to the store? Yeah, I guess I am going. You know, and we're like, we could have been in the store back by now with all this. And so men lose their temper quicker because we're different. We're just cut different. And so we have to understand that, and that's why the Bible in 1 Peter says, husbands, you know, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Get to know them, and how much of a story are they going to give? We have to be ready for that, you know. And if we're not, we have to say, okay, you know, I just need a real quick yes or no on this one, you know. And so preface it and saying, okay, honey, you know, just need to know this. Or, honey, are you ready for a long discussion? Or you just want the down and dirty. Yeah, I just want the down and dirty. You know, and sometimes you're not going to have time for that. And you got to read between the lines and say, okay, this is not clicking on a communication level. So I better get to the point. Or the men may say, oh, you can explain a little bit more, honey. Give me a little bit more information into that. Okay? But men normally by nature lose their temper quicker. Plus, ladies are built for relationships better. They're nurturing children, so they have more patience with the boo-boos and all the things that the children do, so they're more patient in that. Men normally are out getting the job done, going to work, and the boss says, 9 o'clock, I got to have it done. 9 o'clock, I got to have it done. Women are at home with a child, normally on the potty. 9 o'clock, it ain't done. Guess what? We're going to go to 9:05, 9:10, 9:15. Where men, like, 9 o'clock, you're not done? All right, off that potty, let's go. And then 2 minutes later, they go to potty. And then what do? We get frustrated. We get mad. Why'd you go to the potty? I just sat you down here. Why didn't you have to go then? And then we're like, what? You mean tell me you couldn't have put that 2 minutes over there and got that stuff out at 9 o'clock like I wanted? And we get frustrated, you know? Come on, man. Y'all know we do. You know? Or worse, we're on the road and we travel and everybody go use the potty. Okay, let's use the potty. I don't have to use it. Okay, we'll try anyway. Okay, I didn't have to use it. Then we get in the car. 2 minutes, I got to go.
Yep. Yep. In the mountains.
How does 2 minutes make you have to go when we just 2 minutes left the restroom and you didn't have to go? How you explain that to me? And they can't. And what do we mean? We get frustrated. And the wives are like, oh, honey, you need to understand them. I understand he should have went last 2 minutes ago. That's what I understand. And so now, there's a difference between us. We're, you know, ladies are more patient with that because God has made them that way. Whereas men, we're not. And so it carries over into communication. It really does. Notice what it says. Number two, don't refuse to talk. Number three, don't play the blame game. And then down there underneath that, it says maximizing the marriage through communication also involves three approaches to conflict. Number one, it says down there, compromise. Compromise. And so notice what it says here. This solution to a disagreement means you look for common ground. It requires each person to be willing to give a little, but neither should have to do all the sacrificing. When is compromise normally going to be something that we have to do in our communication? Looking for common ground. Each person giving a little.
When we're in disagreement.
In disagreement, amen. Oftentimes, you're probably not going to be in agreement. So compromise probably is going to take place in our marriages the majority of the time. Why? We're two different people. What made you didn't make me, and vice versa. So on most things, we're going to have to compromise because we're not the same person. Now, although in God's eyes it says the twain should be one flesh, we still have two minds. Okay? And so notice what it says here. It requires each person to be willing to give a little, but neither should have to do all the sacrificing. When one does all the sacrificing, what normally builds up in a relationship?
Conflict.
Bitterness. Resentment.
Frustration.
Frustration. Why does that build up if one has to sacrifice all the time?
Because they don't feel like they're getting anything in return.
Not getting anything in return. Why do I have to always be the one to give? Why does it always have to be your way? Why can't it be my way sometimes? That can be frustrating. It can be frustrating. By the way, don't you think kids go through that sometimes? And the kids say, why does it always have to be your way, mommy or daddy? And what do we normally say?
Because I said so.
Because I said so.
Nah.
Because I said so. And to a degree, that's right and that's true. Children obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. And so we have to train our children that. That's what God said, that you're supposed to obey me. Now, we also have to see their side of the story sometimes as well. And sometimes with a child, we do have to compromise. Sometimes, not often, because we are the parent and they are the child. And so we know what's best for them. So sometimes we do have to compromise a little bit. But oftentimes, it's just like David said, because I said so. Children, obey your parents, the Lord. This is right. So it says, neither should have to do all the sacrificing. In this approach to conflict resolution, neither partner gets everything like he or she wants. Who gets everything they want in a relationship?
Right.
Nobody normally gets everything they want. I mean, if you do, then yeah, something's wrong. Because somebody on the other side is not getting what they want if you're getting everything you want. Unless you married yourself. Which we did not do. Okay? Notice what it says there. Neither partner gets everything he or she wants, but both get something. And that's going to apply to most couples most of the time when you're communicating and conflict resolving, that you're going to have to compromise most times. The second thing down there it says is concession. Concession. And this approach, it says one partner does all the sacrificing or giving in. By the way, I can tell you this, it won't last. That won't last. If you're conceding every time, it's not going to last. Once in a while, it's fine. But my wife, she does not like to eat late. Most of our family likes to eat late. So guess what we have to do? Compromise. You know, now, most of the time, it's late just because we've got things to do. But if we were eating all the time late, my wife would be miserable. She'd be miserable. So we try to do some compromise there. Okay, let's, you know, you like to eat at, you know, because you eat at 4:30?
Most of the time 5, but sometimes 4:30.
Yeah, she was raised at home to eat about 4:35. I was raised at home, we ate at about 9 o'clock. That's a big range of time.
6 o'clock.
Big range of time. Say 6 o'clock? All right, what time do most of you guys eat? 6? 7?
6:30.
7, 8. So I was raised on 8, 9 o'clock. That was the average time to be 8 by 9 o'clock. You say, why so late? We had things to do. Everybody was in sports. My parents believed in everybody eating together. So we had to wait till everybody got home and everybody got done. Then we'd eat. and we'd snack in between, get some cheese or crackers, stuff like that. So now, if my wife had to concede every time, she'd be miserable. Now, she reminds us all the time, I don't want to eat late, and so we try to rush and get these things done. Sometimes she'll sit the kids down and say, all right, you guys go ahead and get started, and we'll join in. But concession all the time won't last. Notice what it goes on to say. If, however, the concession is made through pressure or coercion, that's force, the resolution will not last. It has to be the free choice of the partner making the concession. I can guarantee you, nobody wants to concede all the time. Who likes to lose all the time? Nobody likes to lose all the time. And so if I got to concede all the time, that's pretty much what I'm saying. I'm the loser, and you're the winner. And that's the way our flesh begins to look at it. You know, they get their way all the time, and I never get my way. And so we've got to really watch that. So that is one way to conflict resolution, compromising. Then concession is another way, but that won't last if it's continuing. But then number three, can it? And sometimes we have to do this. This is when you have irreconcilable disagreements. So you have to can it, put it on the shelf for a time. When might we have to can a specific topic that we're communicating on or talking about? Can it?
Going to the store.
We may have to can that, amen. Especially if I think we don't have the money, you think we do, amen. And I don't believe in putting it on credit. We may have to can that, amen. What other topics might we have to can?
My wife are going through this right now. It's moving. So.
Moving, amen. I had to can that. I don't like to move here. Don't want to go here. I do want to go there. Don't want to leave this. Don't want to leave that. Want to be close to mama. Don't want to be close to mama. Want to be close to family, don't want to be close to family. And so sometimes I may have to can that for a time and say, okay, we have to come back to this. Here's another one. If we get angry or upset, got to can it. If the emotions are so high that we really cannot intelligibly and spiritually talk about something, guess what? Got to can it. Why? You're just going to get frustrated, I'm going to get frustrated. And so we can, we got to come back to it. Certain times, there's certain things that we talk about in relationships that we may have to can. It may be how you discipline the children. It may be, you know, what time you eat. It may be, you know, where you're working at or how long you're working or when we're taking our vacation or whatever. It could be any range of things. Notice what it says. It is to agree to disagree. Before using this method of conflict resolution, the first two methods should be tried and every effort made to reach an agreement. So I should really try the compromise first before I have to can it, or maybe concession before I can it. Since after you learn how to work out the small areas of conflict in your marriage, you can come back to things you put on a shelf. So sometimes if the emotional level is too high, or you may just, I don't see it that way. You can't see what your spouse is saying, and they can't see what you're saying. You're just in two totally different worlds. And you're saying two totally different things. You have to say, you know what, we got to come back to that. We got to come back. You know, I'm not seeing what you're seeing, and I'm not seeing what you're saying. And nobody's getting through. Are we going to have moments like that? We are. Does that mean one is right and one is wrong? No, it just means that based upon the life experiences that this one has, they've come to this conclusion. And based upon the life experiences that this one has had, they've come to this conclusion. It doesn't mean that one is right and one is wrong. This is just the way we see it and we view it. And so because of that, it's hard to get in somebody's mind and to see and experience everything that you can't do that. So you can only go by what they say. You can only go by. That's why truthful communication is so important. Because if you don't speak it or voice it or get it out there, how's the other person going to know? They really won't know. They just kind of like, okay, I hear you, but I don't hear you coming soon. So sometimes we may have to do that. Notice that bottom paragraph that says at the bottom of page 20. You must understand you can't fix everything at once. How many of us like to fix it all at once? At least the men, we know we do. Amen. Want to fix it at once. But you can't fix it all at once. And it becomes like this. We had one of the towel racks came off. And I kept pushing it back in, And the more I pushed it in, guess what happened to it? It got loose and more loose. And of course, children have no conscience of that. They just hung all sorts of heavy stuff on it. So what happened to it? It fell out more. And I kept saying, you know what? I'm going to fix it. I'll get around to it. And so by the time I fixed it, it was a big old hole. And so the things that I had to fix it with at first didn't work. So guess what I had to do? go to the store and get the right things because I should have fixed it initially or started at least working on it and took things off so it was fixable. Now there's a big old hole and I gotta fix the hole. How many of y'all think I was happy about that? I didn't have time to fix it in the first place. That's why I stayed the way it was. And so now I had to go to the store and fix it. And I had to get all the right tools and get it up there. And then it was up there. And then again, of course, it took more time and more money and more effort. Some things you got to start fixing little by little. But you got to understand it can't be fixed in a day. Why can't it be fixed in a day sometimes? Why can't it be fixed all at once sometimes?
Because you have priorities. You have to prioritize because you have many things to do.
Prioritize got many things to do. Why else can't it happen all at once?
A lot of it's spiritual.
A lot of it's spiritual. And if it's spiritual, what does that mean?
God's
got to do it. It's not going to come quick. Because oftentimes, God's got to work through who? Us. And if God is working through us, what is he going to have to filter through? Our past. He's got to filter through our past, and he's got to bring certain things that have been undealt with in our past, and he's got to do what with those things? Deal with them. And if he's got to deal with them, guess what we got to do? Deal with it. And then once he brings it up and deal with it, and I put it to rest, and we start moving towards this, because here's where the problem is, right here, but the real problem was way back here. So now God's got to deal with this, he's got to deal with this, he's got to deal with this, he's got to, and then finally I come to the point, now we can deal with this issue. Because I got too many other issues. Now, in all fairness, let me say this. Most couples hate to deal with issues like that. Why?
It's painful.
Painful. It hurt. It doesn't feel good. It does not feel good. Because I'm going back to a problem that may or may not have involved me. And so because it may or may not involve me, I'm totally clueless. And I can only go by what you give me on this area. And so it cannot be fixed at one setting. Just we don't have the time. We really don't. And so now I've got to talk about this with the Lord and got to get some spiritual encouragement here and work that out. And like it says in Proverbs, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. So I've got to get that counsel and instruction from God. But notice what it says at the bottom of page 20. But every little thing you do to resolve is a big step in that direction. My mom was a big one that would have 1,000 different projects going at once. And I would always say, Mom, when are you going to get this project done or get this project done or get that one done? She'd say, oh boy, leave me alone. And she'd always say, Rome wasn't built in a day. And then she'd always say, Rome wasn't built in a day. Well, one day I got fed up with her saying that. Now, she doesn't know I got fed up with her. But I got fed up of hearing her say, Rome wasn't built in a day. And I came back and I said, well, at least it got started one day. And my dad overheard it, and he died laughing. And I was not being funny. I'm like, look, you keep giving me all these things. You got all these projects over here. And why don't you just get these things done and get them out of here? And she kept saying, Rome wasn't built in a day. I said, well, at least it got started. Somebody started on one day, and Rome finally got built. I'm like, so if you get started on one day, get this thing built, we can put that one to rest and get that monkey off my back. Amen. So, you know, if we take that approach that, you know what, Rome wasn't built in a day, it did get started. We got to start working on some of these issues to build up that communication. Notice what it says on top of page 21. You can't eat a steak all at once. How many of y'all can put a steak in your mouth and swallow it down home? You'll choke. You have to eat it in bite-sized pieces. That's how you maximize your marriage, in bite-sized pieces. Don't look for perfection in any area of your marriage. Look for improvement, amen. That's what you should be looking for, improvement. Step by step, Rome wasn't built in a day. It was started on, though. Be sure to compliment any improvement you see in your spouse. It's always a good thing. Just the effort to improve in any area is worthy of genuine praise. And so that's one thing you want to do. I know my children are big on praise. You praise them about what they did, oh man, they glow and they shine and they want to do more. By the way, it works for us as husbands and wives too. You know, praise your spouse about what they do good. Don't always point out what they do bad. Amen. Notice what it says here. Answer the following questions to help you and your spouse improve your communication with each other. I'll just share some of mine here. How do you feel about keeping each other informed about your schedules, whereabouts, and plans? I put down great, and I actually feel privileged that she wants to know, amen, but I put down this. I'm also cautious until generalities or until things are at a point where I can share them. Sometimes I can be very general about things. Now, why do I need to be general about things when I'm expressing to my wife or informing her about my schedule, my whereabouts, my plan? Why do I have to be general sometimes?
So if you tell them something right away, then they think that it's going to happen that way. It's not always the case.
True. She may think it may happen all right, right at that point. That may not be the case.
Or in a certain way.
A certain way?
I don't know how to explain it. Like, I have some stuff going on with my job right now, and it's about the same way, so I mean, I have to propose it generally to see if it's a good move, or like if I should even take it. So like, you have to propose it in a way that they're informed on what you're trying to do, but it might not happen to the degree that they might be expecting.
Amen. Amen. Now, why do we have to do that? Why do we have to kind of put the fleece out, so to speak?
I mean, you want to, like me, I mean, I love to share things with my wife, and I like to let her know what things are happening, especially since I'm not there. And, you know, I don't get to communicate with her, like, face to face, and I can't see the emotions in her face, you know. I mean, all I can hear is her voice. So, I mean, sometimes if you tell them one thing and then it turns out to be different, it becomes an angry voice. So I mean, you gotta be cautious in order to tread lightly on certain grounds, I guess.
Amen, amen. Sometimes generalities are fine, because sometimes ladies can get overwhelmed. And if you share too much, that may or may not happen, and now she's already gone off preparing on what you said, then that's not good. So sometimes you gotta withhold. So sometimes my whereabouts, what I'm doing, or who I'm doing it with, I've gotta be kind of general or vague, especially being a pastor as well. Gotta be sensitive to those areas. Okay, thanks, brother. And so sometimes I gotta be cautious, and generalities are fine. And you gotta know your spouse as well. What can your spouse take? What can they not take? When's a good time to share with them? When's not a good time? Because when you look at this, keeping somebody informed about schedules and whereabouts and plans, that's all gonna involve communication. Can they take it right now? Now, if the husband is already, I mean, cumbered about with so much stress at their job, and now the child has a need or something like that, bad grades, whatever, do you want to tell them so they walk in the door? No, you don't want to tell them so they walk in the door. Why don't I want to tell them so they walk in the door? Get home, get them relaxed, get them slippers, to make them feel good, get them in the mood to receive it, because they already come home, and you talk to them a few minutes ago on the phone, boss, these people, they come into home, hey, honey, yo, the kids got the F's all in their report cards. You kind of like, what was worse, being at home or being at work? You know, you kind of let them come in, so you can't always drop the bomb on them. Sometimes you got to just give them some generalities and things like that. But, you know, it says, how do you feel about keeping each other informed about your schedules, whereabouts, and your plans? I put that great and privileged that my wife wants to know, but I'm always cautious and making sure that sometimes generalities are fine, sometimes specifics are necessary. It all depends on how she's doing with that. Number two, it says, how do you feel about the following? Your spouse plans a 3-day out-of-state trip and doesn't tell you until the night before he or she leaves. Now, my wife has never done that, and she won't do that, because she knows me. I'm a planner. I'm not one of these spur-of-the-moment people that let's do that. I don't operate like that well. Now, does it happen at times? Sometimes it does, but I don't operate well like that. I put that, if my wife did that, I would be frustrated, angry, because plans have to be made. If you're not here, that means somebody's got to watch these kids and do something with them, and I've got to do this, and so I've got to arrange something. Now, if she tells me in advance I've got this coming up, plans can be made, I'm fine with that. Now again, it says, how do you feel about the following? Your spouse plans a 3-day out-of-state trip. Now, she didn't go to Walmart. She's going out of the state and doesn't tell you until the night before he or she leaves. Now, in the morning, they're waking up and they're going out of state for 3 days. How you gonna feel about that? I don't think we'd be too happy about that. And that's communication, amen? And this last one here, your spouse invites friends or associates to your home for a meal, doesn't inform you until the night before. How do you feel about that? I put that upset, but okay, because ministry necessitates this at times, but it's a rare occasion in our household. It's very rare. My wife normally says, honey, is this fine with you? Does this work for you? Can we do this? And normally I'll say the same thing to her. But put yourself in each one of those situations and say, how do you feel that happens? Why? It may happen. And this is the key. You've got to have a communicable response to that when it does happen, if it happens. And what are you going to say? It may happen. How do you feel about it? And you've got to run that through the range of emotions. Not just that, anything that doesn't set well with you communication-wise, you've got to be able to run that through the Holy Spirit's power and begin to talk to your spouse about that. Again, notice what it says in Proverbs 19:20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Everything that I do in regards to receiving counsel and receiving instruction, I've got to run that through the Spirit of God that I can have wisdom in my latter end on how to deal with my spouse, how to deal with my children, how to deal with my coworkers, how to deal with my boss, how to deal with my in-laws, how to deal with my family, how to deal with my friends. I've got to make sure, because God can use any and everybody to help you to get to where He wants you to be. I mean, He used heathen kings throughout the Bible. He used unsaved people through the Bible. He used a donkey. He used a chicken. God can use anybody. So we've got to make sure that we're hearing the counsel, receiving instruction. Let me give you a memory verse for next week, because we're going to finish this area out next week. 1 Corinthians 13:13 is going to be the verse for next week. Because we'll be into forgiving next week. 1 Corinthians 13:13. We'll finish up these last few questions and go right into chapter 13. Chapter 4, Maximizing Your Marriage. So 1 Corinthians 13:13 is the memory verse for next week. And we'll finish out these questions. The main thing that we want to take home with us today is making sure that you and I understand we want to hear counsel from our spouse, we want to receive instruction, but we have to be humble about it, because it may hit a hard spot, it may hit a hurting spot. We've got to be humble and say, you know what, my spouse is only trying to help me. They're only trying to make me better. They're only trying to do what's right in God's eyes for me. So nobody's setting out to hurt each other. But go through those questions, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Honestly answer those for yourself and say what your response would be, because it'll help you in the long run. Amen? All right, 1 Corinthians 13:13 is what we're going to look at next time as we come in, and that'll be a blessing. All right, let's be dismissed. Father, thank you for the ability to understand more about ourselves and communication. Lord, help us to hear this counsel that's going to come from our spouse, and sometimes maybe from family, sometimes from friends, sometimes from our own children. Help us to hear counsel, receive instruction, Lord, and help us be humble, that we can be wise in our latter end. Lord, help us most of all to listen to the Spirit of God and the voice of God, Lord, that you would speak to us and we might hear exactly what you have to say in the Word of God. Starting off a brand new year, Lord, help us to maximize our communication with our spouses and our children and all those that will be around us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians 13:13 is your verse for next week, and we'll pick up with that. Amen. Make sure you meet and greet Champagne and who else is new? Chris and Michelle. Aha, got you that time. After you refreshed my memory.
I always got stretch.
I'm getting old. You got to stretch even more.
How's everything going?
It's been going all right.
Thanks. Hey, good to see you, man. Wow. Yeah. Mr. David?